The Problem of Races. Let us bow our heads together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you created all races alike. We all go back to Adam and Eve. There is no difference between us. You love us all. You came to redeem us all on the cross. Please bring unity to all the races. We thank you that through you we can love every human being in the world. Treat everyone with dignity and respect and love. Please destroy all these dividing lines, whether it's in South Africa or in the south of this country or anywhere else. Bring love and unity between the races before you come. We know that we are all going to live together as one family in heaven, so why can't we start doing this here? Speak to us now as we deal with this problem. In Jesus' beautiful, powerful name. Amen. The problem of races. Jesus is the Savior and Redeemer of the whole world. John 4:42. After the Samaritans, who were not Jews, had heard the testimony of the woman at the well, they said, "Now we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Speaking of the heathens, the Bible says in Matthew 4:16, "The people sat in darkness. The Jews, on the other hand, were in the light." In John 10:16, Jesus said, "I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will heed my voice. So there shall be one flock, one shepherd." An interesting fact is that the Canaanites were a nation doomed to extinction by God. However, Judah, the man, the bearer of the promise of the coming Messiah, took unintentionally, but by the providence of God, the Canaanite woman Tamar as his wife. She had been the wife of his son, but had been widowed. She became the forebearer of Jesus Christ. Genesis 38. Or take Jericho. Jericho was doomed to destruction, but Rahab and her family were saved. She also became a forebearer of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, the Lord commanded Moses that the Moabites should never become members of the Israelite nation. But through a forbidden marriage, Ruth became the wife of Boaz and a member of the nation of Israel. Ruth also became a forebearer of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 1:3-5, we read that Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, although belonging to heathen nations, are mentioned as part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. In other words, faith in Jesus Christ abolishes all national barriers. Fourthly, the disciples of Jesus formed a very interesting set. In Mark 3:18, we discover that Simon was a Canaanite. The Canaanite nation had been condemned to extinction by God after they had been granted 430 years of grace. When they refused to be converted, their time of probation ran out. But the individual Canaanites could still find salvation in Christ. This is God's great grace. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Acts 10:34-35, Peter opened his mouth and said, Most certainly I understand that God shows no partiality and is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he who has a reverential fear of God, treating him with worshipful obedience and living uprightly, is acceptable to him and sure of being received and welcomed by him. 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Not the skin color, the heart. Matthew 23:8-9. You are all brothers, and you have one Father for all men, who is in heaven. The Apostle Paul, in spite of his Jewish Jovinism, patriotism, and racial prejudice, stressed the oneness of believers in Christ without distinction of color or other differences. Galatians 3:27-29. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, into a spiritual union and communion with Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is now no distinction, neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, who is Abraham's seed, then you are Abraham's offspring and spiritual heirs according to promise. Romans 11:25. Lest you be self-opinionated, wise in your own conceits, I do not want you to miss this hidden truth, brethren. A hardening, an insensibility has temporarily befallen a part of Israel, to last until the full number of the ingathering of the Gentile has come in. Ham, the son of Noah, was the first who fell away from God. By the way, Ham turned into Canaanites and the African nations. Japheth turned into Gentile nations in Europe. And Shem turned into Jews. So Ham, the son of Noah, was the first who fell away from God. His rebellion led to the building of the Tower of Babel. Then later, Israel fell away from God. Then the Gentiles came into the fold. First, Japheth dwelt in the house of Israel and in Christendom. Now, in the end time of the world, the Hamite nations are coming into the Christian fold again. Psalm 68:31. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall hasten to stretch out her hands with the offerings of submission to God. Acts 8:27. And behold, an Ethiopian, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem to worship. And friends, that's a city 2,000 miles away from where he lived. This Ethiopian finance minister was a proselyte, a convert to Judaism. And there he accepted Jesus Christ as the Messiah and became a Christian. He returned to Ethiopia and founded the Coptic Church, which believed in Jesus Christ and his teachings, including the Sabbath, for 16 centuries. Then Christian missionaries arrived there in the 17th century. There is no super race. All are sinners, fallen men, saved by grace. Romans 3:10-24. As it is written, none is righteous, just and truthful. No, not one. Since all have sinned and are falling short of the honor and glory which God bestows. All are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption which is provided in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the Creator of all mankind. Acts 17:26. And God made from one common origin, one source, one blood, all nations of men to settle on the face of the earth. Yes, Jesus Christ is the Messiah of all mankind. Acts 17:31. God has fixed a day when He will judge the world righteously, justly, by a man whom He has destined and appointed for that task. And He has made this credible and given evidence to everyone by raising Him from the dead. Jesus Christ came into a world and society in which social injustice was the rule. There were caste systems. There was slavery, serfdom, racial prejudice, hate, and political tension. There was Roman imperialism. There was poverty, misery, sickness, ignorance. Women were oppressed and sold. Except for the issue of marriage relationships, Jesus did not even touch on the problems and did not even discuss them. But Jesus spoke about the ruling principles. Luke 12:13-15. Someone from the crowd said to Him, "Master, order my brother to divide the inheritance and share it with me." But Jesus told him, "Man, who has appointed me as judge, umpire, and divider over you?" And He said to them, "Guard yourselves and keep free from all covetousness, the immoderate desire for wealth. For a man's life does not consist from possessing overflowing abundance over and above his needs." In other words, Jesus refused to be a judge. He says, "I'm not a judge now." Matthew 26:11. "For you always have the poor among you." Jesus did not think of eliminating the poor then. Jesus Christ identified Himself with all unfortunates. Matthew 25:40-45. "Surely I tell you, in as far as you did it to one of the least, in the estimation of men, of these my brethren, you did it to me. Solemnly I declare to you, insofar as you failed to do it for the least of these, you failed to do it for me." The apostles found the same situation as Jesus did wherever they traveled. Nevertheless, they never meddled in racial, social, or political questions. They preached the gospel. They saved souls. And by doing this, by the process of preaching the gospel, they solved all other problems as a byproduct. Because Jesus Christ solves all our problems in us. He does not change our circumstances. He changes us so that we can endure them and change them. Paul said in Ephesians 6:5, "Slaves, be obedient to those who are your physical masters, having respect for them and eager concern to please them in singleness of motive and with all your heart as service to Christ Himself." 1 Corinthians 7:20-22-24. "Everyone should remain after God calls him in the station and condition of life in which the summons found him. Were you a slave when you were called? Do not let that trouble you. But if you're able to gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity." For he, who was a slave, was summoned into union with the Lord, is a freedman of the Lord. Just so he, who was free when he was called, is a bondservant of Christ. So, brethren, in whatever station or state or condition of life each one was when he was called, let him continue there with God and close to God. In other words, through Christ, a slave is free, while his master is a servant. A master in Christ should consider himself a servant to all men, while a slave in Christ should consider himself free and rejoice in his work. Paul is saying to all of them, change your internal attitude, not your circumstances. Satan would like to hinder by any means the preparation of Laodicea and the return of Jesus. In 1888, at Minneapolis, Satan tried to hinder us, and he succeeded. Today, over 140 years after our church was started, we have not been fully revived as yet. Doctrinarianism, intellectualism, institutionalism, worldliness are hindering the spiritual awakening. Other problems, problems originating in the unconverted world, are penetrating our ranks. Materialism, modern fashions, sexual immorality, juvenile delinquency, educational crisis, student rebellion, racial tensions, etc. The disciples before and after the Lord's Supper were asking, who among us is the greatest? That's prejudice and discrimination. Luke 22:24. Now an eager contention, a strife arose among them. Which of them was considered to be the greatest? Imagine, this happened right after the foot-washing ceremony and communion. Oh, the world is full of wounds and woes. We have inherited the sins of our forefathers. When men or movements are separating themselves from Christ, the results are always social difficulties. At Pentecost, the hearts and souls of believers were one. Acts 4:32. Now the company of believers was of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything which he possessed was exclusively his own, but everything they had was in common and for the use of all. But later, difficulties, differences, and frictions arose among them. Soon, their first love was gone. Acts 6:1. Now about this time, when the number of disciples was greatly increasing, complaint was made by the Hellenists, the Greek-speaking Jews, against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of relief. And this led to friction and murmuring. Galatians 2:11-13. When Peter came to Antioch, I protested and opposed him to his face concerning his conduct there, for he stood condemned. For up to the time that certain persons came from James, he ate his meals with the Gentile converts. But when the men from Jerusalem arrived, he withdrew and held himself aloof from the Gentiles, and ate separately for fear of those of the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews, along with him, also concealed their true convictions and acted insincerely, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. Here we find friction between Jewish and heathen Christians. My dear friends, we Adventists need revivals. Thank God that here and there revival fires are already burning. We need unity in the last battles against Satan. Racial quarreling could rip us apart. In the United States, this problem already split the country in the past and caused a terrible civil war. Racial belonging should be no cause for office or promotion. Between 1900 and 1920, Elder Conradi, the division president, sought for German prominence. That was wrong. Later on, Elder Conradi apostatized. He rejected the spirit of prophecy. And as I go every year to our German brethren, they tell me of the terrible effects this man had on our denomination. Thank God the German brethren are coming back to the spirit of prophecy. I see a genuine revival sweep throughout Germany. They want to live up to everything the Bible and Ellen G. White wrote. And I hope that we can give them as many books as possible of Ellen G. White in German language. No, Ellen G. White pleaded for unity. Let me read some of her statements. Fundamentals of Christian Education, page 202 on the bottom, and then 203. It now remains for those who have already been enlightened by the truth in these colonies to cooperate with the efforts of their American brethren, knowing that in Christ all race prejudices, all national distinctions are laid aside, and we are all brethren engaged in the work of advancing the Redeemer's kingdom. We are all one in Christ and should unite heartily in an effort to educate and train an army of young men and women in such a way that there will be consistent, well-balanced Christians able to understand and explain the Scriptures. The purity, faith, zeal, and consistency of character in those who go forth to work for the Lord should be so evident that others may see their good works and be led to glorify our Father who is in heaven. If our profession of faith is sustained by heartfelt piety, it will be a means of good, for thereby souls will be influenced to comply with the terms of salvation. God designs that His grace should be made manifest in the believer, that through the Christ-like character of individual members, the church may become the light of the world. Prophets and Kings, page 369 and 70. The marvelous providences connected with Israel's deliverance from Egyptian bondage and with the occupancy of the promised land led many of the heathen to recognize the God of Israel as the supreme ruler. The Egyptians shall know, had been the promise, that I am the Lord, when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. Exodus 7:5. Even proud Pharaoh was constrained to acknowledge Jehovah's power. Go, serve the Lord, he urged Moses and Aaron, and bless me also. Exodus 12:31-32. The advancing hosts of Israel found that knowledge of the mighty workings of the God of the Hebrews had gone before them, and that some among the heathen were learning that He alone was the true God. In wicked Jericho, the testimony of a heathen woman was, "The Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Joshua 2:11. The knowledge of Jehovah that had thus come to her proved her salvation. By faith Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Hebrews 11:31. And her conversion was not an isolated case of God's mercy toward idolaters, who acknowledged his divine authority. In the midst of the land, a numerous people, the Gibeonites, renounced their heathenism and united with Israel, sharing in the blessings of the covenant. No distinction on account of nationality, race, or caste is recognized by God. He is the maker of all mankind. All men are of one family by creation, and all are one through redemption. Christ came to demolish every wall of partition, to throw open every compartment of the temple courts, that every soul may have free access to God. His love is so broad, so deep, so full, that it penetrates everywhere. It lifts out of Satan's influence those who have been deluded by his deceptions and places them within reach of the throne of God, the throne encircled by the rainbow of promise. In Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free. In the years that followed the occupation of the promised land, the beneficent designs of Jehovah for the salvation of the heathen were almost wholly lost sight of, and it became necessary for him to set forth his plan anew. All the ends of the world, the psalmist was inspired to sing, shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. The heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he has looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoners, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem, when the people are gathered together, and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. Psalm 22:27, Psalm 68:31, Psalm 102:15, and 18-22. Then I encourage you to turn to Testimony, Volume 9, page 206, 207, 208. For instance, 208, chapter 1, paragraph 1. The powers of hell are working with all the ingenuity to prevent the proclamation of the last message of mercy among the colored people. Satan is working to make it most difficult for the gospel minister and teacher to ignore the prejudice that exists between the white and the colored people. 209:1. When the Holy Spirit is poured out, there will be a triumph of humanity over prejudice in seeking the salvation of the souls of human beings. God will control minds. Human hearts will love as Christ loved. And the color line will be regarded by many very differently from the way in which it is now regarded. To love as Christ loves lifts the mind into a pure, heavenly, unselfish atmosphere. Then read page 214, paragraph 3, page 215, paragraph 1. The time has not come for us to work as if there were no prejudice. Christ said, "Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Matthew 10:16. If you see that by doing certain things which you have a perfect right to do, you hinder the advancement of God's work, refrain from doing those things. Do nothing that will close the minds of others against the truth. There is a world to save, and we shall gain nothing by cutting loose from those we are trying to help. All things may be lawful, but all things are not expedient. Then 2:16, paragraph 2. it is Satan's object to keep Christians occupied in controversies among themselves. He knows that if they do not watch, the day of the Lord will come on them as a thief in the night. We have no time now to give place to the spirit of the enemy and to cherish prejudices that confuse the judgment and lead us away from Christ. Still, Testimonies, Volume 9, page 221, paragraph 1. If Christians were to act in concert, moving forward as one, under the direction of one power, for the accomplishment of one purpose, they would move the world. Brethren, let us unite. Let us not have controversies over racial questions and problems in our denomination. Satan would like nothing better to lead us into infighting so that we have no time, no energy left to save a world that's going to hell on a cart. Let us preach the gospel. Let us preach the three angels' messages in unison and put away all strife, divisions, prejudice, hatred. Help us not to use force to accomplish certain goals, but help us to use only love, kindness, gentleness, fairness. O Lord, have mercy on us. The hour of your return is so near. Please drive Satan away from us. He's giving us one controversy after another, so there's too much infighting among us. Help us to love each other as you loved us, Lord. Help us to be willing to lay down our lives for one another. Help the blacks to love the whites and the whites to love the blacks. We are all one nation. We are all one body in this world. We thank you that you will accomplish this through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, give us a Pentecost. Give us a revival. Thank you that you're doing it right now. In Jesus' beautiful, powerful name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you would discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.